If you want to look at a passage with me in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 6, briefly, I want you to notice something here that God says to Moses. Moses, of course, the man who writes the first five books of the Bible. It's no surprise then that God would say what he says here in this passage. Notice here Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 and following. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. That's important there. Notice that. I am the Lord. Jehovah, Yahweh, the self-existing one. Look at verse 3, though. This is interesting. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, or El Shaddai, the Almighty, the All-Powerful One. In a world that was consumed with the ideas or ideals of gods in a plural sense. God tells Moses here, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. Now you'll find that phrase, El Shaddai, the Almighty, All-Powerful, throughout this patriarchal period of time. But it seems very unique here, and for a purpose, that the Lord, the self-existing one here, now says to Moses, who will write the account of the patriarchs, that I am the Lord, specifically. That's important to understand because of Revelation, the connection with the revealed or written Word of God. There is a difference because during the patriarchal period, they did not have a written revelation like we do today, like Moses then had around 1500 BC when he begins to write. And so there's an interesting point that we need to understand here. God was revealing himself. If you want to go back to Genesis 17, verse 1, God was revealing himself, appearing, as he says there. The word appear there is an interesting word to study. But Genesis 17, verse 1, just notice the context here where God appears to Abram, and he was 90 years old and 9. The Lord, now notice this, there's the word Jehovah or Yahweh, but this is Moses writing this. And Moses knows that was the Lord, the self-existing one that appeared, because he told me that over here in Exodus chapter 6. And so I'm writing this now. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, the All-Powerful One, which he was and is. God is the All-Powerful, Omnipotent God, always has been, always will be. But there is this relationship regarding revelation that I believe Abraham did not have, that Moses now will have. And it is tied specifically to the Bible, to the written word. Now, I want you to follow with me, if you will. I think this is an interesting study. I want you to now look with me to the New Testament, and let's notice some key phrases of the New Testament. Go to the very end, Revelation 22, because now we're coming to the end of Revelation, and this is no consequence. This is no mere simple consequence. This is a profound matter of providence, specific providence in regard to time and revelation. You get to the end of Revelation, look at chapter 22. Jesus inspired, inspired writer John, he writes and says in verse 12 and 13, and behold, Jesus talking, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And notice here again, look at the end of this text, look at verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, a messenger to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Notice here, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to every man, now this is important, watch it, that heareth these words of the prophecy of this book, and he is not speaking, he cannot be speaking only of the book of Revelation. He is talking about the entire scheme of Revelation, redemption, the promise. If he's going to talk about himself being the root and the offspring of David in verse 16, that goes back to where? That goes back to the book of Ruth, if you want to get real clear, at the end of the book of Ruth. And then you get into 1 and 2 Samuel, where David will be born. We're talking about Revelation, so no wonder in verse 18 it says there, if we hear the words of the prophecy of this book, this Bible, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. That's a book that's referred to throughout this book of books, the Bible. And this is a book that tells us exactly who Jesus is. Now, if you will, briefly, let's look at the book of Hebrews just for a last summarizing series of ideas brought out by the book of Hebrews. Look at chapter 10, if you will, verse 1 and following. And notice here how it says, for the law having a shadow, notice that word shadow, of good things to come, and not the very image of the things. You see, that law that Moses revealed, that the Lord said, I'm going to give unto you a message. Not like I spoke to Abram and the patriarchs, but I'm going to give you a specific message that's going to get you closer, but it's just going to be a shadow. And you're going to serve out your time, Moses, and there will be others after you, Moses, that will serve out their time, like Daniel the prophet. You remember Daniel was told to seal up the book because his time was fulfilled. He had done his job, and he weeps because he wanted to see it. He wanted to see the Christ. He wanted to see redemption. He wanted to see the promise. And they had to hang on to it, but it was just coming about. Their time was done. And so there was this shadow. Look at chapter 11 then. Verse 1 and following, as the Hebrews writer now is narrowing this idea of faith for you and me. Verse 1 and following. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And he says in verse 6, without this faith, it is impossible to please him. And so in one sense, we're just like all these in the Old Testament that had to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We haven't seen all things. But in another sense, that shadow has been done away with and fulfilled in Christ, and we have seen all things that we need to see. That's why the Scripture is all sufficient. That's why the Bible has everything that pertains unto life and godliness, this side of eternity. And so then, as he concludes in chapter 11, watch it very closely. He says there in verse 38 and following, talking about those Old Testament characters of faith, he says the world was not worthy of those kind of people because of their faith. Think about the world today. The world is not worthy of us today if we walk by faith and not by sight. We stand above. Don't lose sight of that. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. They had obtained a good report through faith. But then notice verse 39 near the end. But they received not the promise, They didn't see it. God having provided some better thing for us that they without us should not be made perfect. So their whole life, their whole purpose, their whole existence was again the same purpose and existence that we have. We are indeed brethren with those of the Old Testament that walked by faith. Those are our brethren. Just like today, those who obey the gospel. Now chapter 12, and I'll conclude. Verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. That's the sin of unfaithfulness or non-belief or not believing. Chapter 3 talks about that. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now here it is. Look at verse 2. The revealed one. This not just the all-powerful El Shaddai. He is now, this is Jesus. And the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now that's why in Revelation 22, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It's all about me, Jesus. Now what I love is the end of chapter 12, and we'll offer the invitation. Look at verse 28 and 29. Talking about this all-powerful God that appeared unto Abram and Isaac and Jacob and then to Moses. The Lord, the self-existing one, the great I am. The Hebrews writer here in chapter 12 says, wherefore we today, receiving a kingdom. And I like the King James Version. I think it's a good translation. Which cannot be moved. It's an unshakable eternal matter. The church of Christ is not in competition with any man-made religion.
Amen.
It's eternal. What we do here is eternal. It's unshakable. My faith doesn't shake because of the faulty faith or the false faith that others have. I stand on solid ground and I try to help them and talk to them and hear them. And then try to point out the problems with what I hear. Someone challenged me the other day as to why I don't let my children go to dances and dance. And the little girl's daddy said something to me and I ran into her and you know what I said to him? I said this in the mall Sunday afternoon trying to rush around and get some Christmas shopping done. And I was so glad when I saw Mr. Petey and Leah come walking up to me because they knew Jaden was in trouble for something, but that's another story. And I looked at him and I said, I couldn't believe I saw him because it was on my heart. And I said, and she came to me and she apologized, little girl, about something. And I said, listen, I'm so glad I saw you because I want you to know something. Yes. We've had a little issue and Jaden had his phone taken away and you know about that, don't you? She said, yes, because he hadn't talked to me in a day and a half. And I said, listen, I don't want Jaden's hands on your daughter. I don't want him putting his hands on her waist. I don't want him having impure thoughts. And I looked at him in the eye and I said, you're 14. I said, you don't need to suffer those temptations this early in life. And I looked at the dad who's a good man, he's a Baptist though, and I said, I'm trying to protect your daughter and my son. And he looked at me and he was like, what do I say? And I said, don't you get it? It's purity in practice. And I was so happy to see him, and I'm still happy I got to see him, and I got to see him again last night. But anyway, it's all about this. Look at this passage here, Hebrews 12, 28 and 29, and I'll get off my high horse. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. He is El Shaddai. He is the Almighty, all-powerful one. And through the author and finisher of our faith, he's coming back. And we had better be ready.
Yeah.
And we must know this word, this definitive, specific word, the gospel, and obey it because it's the power of God unto salvation. I don't need to listen to a man make up things. You don't need to listen to a man. You've got the Bible. And I was so excited when you said I had the invitation tonight because I didn't know. I wanted to talk about some of this stuff. And If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you don't know what you're missing. You really just don't know. And it's very simple, but you have to make your mind up to serve and to repent and to confess and do things. And so, if you're in need of study, we're here to help you do that. Many of us here are ready to help you study, to help your faith lead you in the right direction. If you know what you must do, then you've made your mind up to repent of your sins, to walk in a newness of life, to confess Jesus before men as the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, to be immersed in water, baptized for the remission of your sins, to arise to walk in a newness of life. That newness of life is what will carry you out as you have good, faithful brethren here to help you, encourage you. And I can't tell you a better place to be than right here at 9th and Main Church of Christ. And so if we can help you in any way, why don't you let us know then as together we stand and we sing, won't you come?